that.
Blog
Dr. Dre, crank it up, man.
Oh, yeah, I hear that. Y'all know how we roll.
Okay.
Red Rum?
Bring it up, Doc. Let's get the show going.
Get it. What? What? Stand up, Rob. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we had to start it a little differently, but it's still the same signature. You know what's going on. It is Talking Sports with the 12th Man. A little different night, but the same results always come into play. Welcome, of course, on this Wednesday edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. Today is Wednesday, as mentioned, April the 3rd, and man, got a lot of things to talk about. Hey, Rob, just don't throw any basketballs out my head or anything like that, okay, man? Just don't call me out my name, okay? I'm just saying, man. I'm sorry, man. We'll make sure
you get
it right,
I'm going to throw the chair at you like Billy, like
Billy
Bob Knight.
Bob Knight, do that to me, man. As always, of course, welcome. And we got a lot of fun things to talk about. Obviously, the FAB mission, the throwing chairs and all that fun stuff. We'll get to these great topics. But as always, I got to check in with you, sir, and see how you're doing this evening.
Man, doing fantastic, Doc. You know, had a long trip out to California and returned on yesterday. And ready to rock and roll and talk some sports, man.
So refreshed, man, in spite of the time change, man. So that's good to hear, man. So, good deal. You feeling good? The time change didn't really affect you or anything like that?
Oh, a little tired, man, but, you know, never too tired to talk a little sports to the world here tonight.
That's what it's all about. For those who want to call into the show, we're going to throw these numbers. You can always reach us, give us your thoughts. The number to call in as a guest, it is 424-243-9519. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at the number 12 Minute Sports, and we are also on Facebook at Talking Sports with 12 Minute, as well as a lot of different ways you can get in contact with us. But without further ado, let's get started. Let's jump into, I was talking about throwing chairs and throwing basketballs, and if you didn't know, Rutgers fires their coach, Mr. Mike Rice, after a couple of gay slurs and a lot of abuse. And Rob, man, I saw this video. It's very disturbing. It's kind of funny because sometimes, you know, we used to always talk about back in the day, you know, Coach used to get away with a lot of stuff, especially Bob Knight. But, you know, I think this may have gone a little bit overboard and kind of crossed the line. So I'd love to hear your thoughts about this and if you think Rutgers was justified in actually firing Mike Rice.
Well, I think they had no choice in to move ahead with the firing. I mean, obviously, I think the actions, the gay slurs, everything was just totally out of control. And it definitely just got a lot of national publicity on this story. And there was just a black eye to the University of Rutgers. Obviously, they had no choice but to move forward. You hate to see someone lose his job, but, you know, obviously, they had no choice in this situation to move on and fire Mr. Rice, and let's try to get the program going in the right direction here. I think his actions were definitely uncalled for. Hopefully he will learn from it and become a better person as a result of it.
Yeah, you know, it's always one of the situations, too, Rob, whenever one person kind of gets punished for it, kind of like resets the whole program. So, you know, I don't think he would have been fired. And like I said, if no one sees the video, then I'm sure he just keeps going on. But because this was actually, you know, somebody took the time to tape it, posted it, it went viral. Next thing you know, Mike Rice is getting fired, and maybe there's some coaches out there that may be getting away with doing certain things. You know, I'm okay with being physical with players. I'm okay with, you know, I'm not saying that everything has to be church choir-y and, you know, you can yell and stuff like that, but, you know, there definitely has to be a line whenever you're bullying players or throwing the basketball at them. I think that's totally uncalled for. So, you know, if there's coaches out there doing that, maybe it'll kind of, like, reset them, kind of realize, okay, maybe there should be a different way how I can get through some of these particular players.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I said, I think it's an opportunity. Hopefully he will learn from it as a person. But definitely it's time for the University of Rutgers to move on. They have one more year playing in the new American Atlantic Conference, and then they're going to be moving on to the Big Ten. It's time for them to get ready before they make their move into which has become a very competitive basketball conference in the Big Ten.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like I said, moving right along, and let's talk about the Big East real quick before we get to the Final Four, and I guess getting the new name of the Atlantic or the American Athletic Conference. Tell us a little bit more about that. How did the I don't know if you know a little bit about this and kind of what's going on with this.
Well, obviously, as you know, the so-called Catholic Seven out of the Big East has moved on to start their own conference, and they're going to get to keep the Big East name. And of course, the Catholic Seven is DePaul, Georgetown, Providence, Marquette, and I'm missing about three other schools. Help me out here, Andre. St. John's, Seton Hall, and we have one other that I'm drawing a blank on here at the moment. And,
I'll look it up. Keep talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, but those are the seven Catholic schools. I'm missing one of them there that's moving on, and they're going to get to keep the Big East name. They're adding Butler. They're adding Creighton, and they're also adding Xavier. And so they're going to have a 10-team conference. They get the luxury of keeping the Big East name. And so the Big East, as we know it, has to change their name, and they're going with the American Athletic Conference. The commissioner wanted to go with the America 12 Conference, but the commissioners, the presidents of the university, did not want to go that route because they didn't think they may be stuck at 12 teams. They may get more than 12 teams, so they wanted to keep a number out of the conference name. And so that's where the name came about, as the American Athletic Conference. And you're still going to have Louisville in the conference next year, but they're going to be moving to the ACC after that. And you're still going to have Rutgers in the conference next year. They're going to be moving to the Big Ten after that. And then once those two depart, then you'll basically have the schools that are in it now, UConn, Memphis, Tulane, just to name a few, Tulsa. There'll be schools like that in the conference. But it's such a sad day because even looking at the Big East right now, you're looking at you got Louisville and Syracuse, both in the Final Four, and both of those schools in a couple of years won't even be in that conference. Louisville and Syracuse are moving on to the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is. Do you think this is going to be a better move for these teams? Or do you think it's how do you think this is going to affect the? Is it strengthening the conference or is it weakening it? I mean, what do you actually think about this?
Well, you know, football drives these conferences. And that the Big East was such a powerful basketball conference. And I think what happened, what really hurt them over the years, is when they tried to really become a power football conference. They probably should have just stuck to who they were, and that was a power basketball conference, and they should have left it at that. But when they tried to dibble and dab into football, that's what really hurt them. They really can't compete with the SECs, the Pac-12s, the Big 12s, the Big 10, and even the ACC right now. And so now they're just a shell of themselves right now. Starting next year, all of their basketball powers are breaking up, going in different directions. And now you're going to see other conferences getting the benefit from it. And now looking at it right now, the ACC is really going to benefit from this. You got the ACC is going to get Syracuse, they're going to get Pittsburgh, they're going to get Notre Dame, and they're also going to get Louisville. And now the ACC is going to be, you know, it was already a pretty good basketball conference, but they're going to be the powerhouse when it comes to basketball conferences, just like they were back in the old days.
Man, like you said, it's kind of interesting, too. It, you know, it's interesting you said that football does definitely drive that because whenever you're looking at certain things and kind of how matchups kind of come into play, football, man, it's all about revenue is what it seems like, too, man. So, I mean, you know, very interesting. We'll keep that going as always. And, you know, that's what we are doing. Let's get started, Rob, and I'm going to add one more thing here. We were talking about Louisville here, and that was a devastating injury to Mr. Kevin Ware. He's making his way to Atlanta to travel with the Louisville team. What do you think about this move before we talk about our Final Four predictions, if you will?
Well, it was a very tragic event that happened there. I mean, one of the most gruesome injuries I've ever seen in all of my years of watching sports. Really,
yeah.
The heart goes out to the kid. And we're definitely from the 12-man sports family here. We want to send off our condolences and prayers. We're definitely praying for a quick recovery to Ware, and we're definitely praying for his family to be there with him and give him strength. And it's hard not to root for Louisville after that now, I'll tell you that. And
yeah.
You want to really see them kind of win this thing for the kid. And, you know, you really, like I said, it's really just hard not to root for them at this time.
Yeah. That's, like you said, you know, very, very gruesome injury. I was actually watching it when it actually happened, and it just kind of like, you know, the whole one of those moments where you didn't know how Louisville was going to react, because at first, you know, players didn't tell the tightness of the team, and they were just kind of like just focused in, and then, you know, obviously everyone in the stadium was kind of like, you know, just everyone was just like quiet, and the next thing you know, to kind of hear how they Louisville was able to rally, still kind of turn up, it's just amazing too. So, what a great story. Like I said, it's good to see him doing this thing. Hopefully, he'll be able to get back and running, and we'll talk about his basketball career later. But just, you know, it's good to see him, you know, back on his feet. The surgery went well, and hopefully no infections and all that jazz too. So it's just good to see Kevin. And he got a lot of fans, especially since he's from the Atlanta area. So it's always good to see him do well too. So, man, our heart goes out to him, and prayers, as you mentioned, from the 12 sports, that 12 men sports family too. Woo! All right. Let's jump into Rob. Man, my brackets have just amazing. I don't even want to say anything about this. I did have Louisville going pretty far, so I'm happy about that. And I also had Michigan going pretty far, but I didn't have them going to the Final Four. So very, very interesting matchups here. We're going to have number one, Louisville facing number nine, Wichita State. And you got the four seeds, Michigan at Syracuse. And these are some pretty intriguing games. First and foremost, let's talk about Michigan and Syracuse. And that Syracuse zone, man, they shut down a very explosive Indiana team, and they've just been doing their thing. And you would think that teams would figure it out, but it's just the teams just can't seem to figure out that Syracuse zone. I mean, how do you think Michigan is going to fare against this? Do you think they have a shot? And what team actually can beat Syracuse?
Well, I'll tell you a team that can beat Syracuse. Matter of fact, I'm named two teams in this Final Four. I think Michigan and Louisville are both better teams and are capable. Michigan has big-time players on their team, and they're starting to shine here. You know, that's what basically happens in a tournament like this. You need your stars to kind of step up. Michigan, all along the regular season, you know, in certain situations, their big guys didn't step up, but they're really stepping up in the tournament now. You know, part of the reason is they're a little bit young, and but Trey Burke, I tell you what, this guy is stepping up big, showing some great leadership skills for this team. I like Michigan in this matchup against Syracuse. I just think they their big game players have just been stepping up, and Syracuse has big game players too. I mean, you got to give them credit as well, and they're playing, you know, great athleticism. And, you know, they just, I tell you, they dominated Cody Zeller in the paint. That was, wow. I mean, guys shorter than him, blocking his shots and things of that nature. And so you got to be really impressed with what Syracuse did to Indiana. But I just like the way Michigan is playing right now. And I think they're going to show up here and come up big. And I like them in the matchup against Syracuse. And I like the Final Four, the championship game, to be Michigan versus Louisville.
That's interesting, Rob, because before, you know, you weren't as excited as I whenever I was making the pick, because you said Michigan kind of was on a roller coaster. They weren't playing that well. Trey Burke has been shooting lights out. Obviously, Glenn Robinson, they got a lot of scores, as you mentioned, man. So this is it's going to be a great game, like you said. And, you know, Syracuse does keep teams kind of close. You know, they play great defense. So you'll typically – I can tell during the first couple minutes of the game, you know, how the game's going to go, because whenever, obviously, in the Indiana game, whenever Indiana was not able to score, I was like, oh, this is going to be a long game, and actually that ended up proving to be the case. So you're going to know that, you know, a couple minutes of the game, Michigan's able to do their thing, but like you said, they're playing well, they're pretty confident, and I agree with that. I think they'll be able to pull it out against a very, very tough Syracuse team. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out.
It's definitely the game that I'm looking forward to the most out of the two games on Saturday, that's for sure.
Yeah, so let's talk about, you know, Louisville versus Wichita State. Now, Kevin Ware, that's a kind of a hurt, it's going to hurt them, you think? And I guess tell you about they are able to overcome that. Do you think they can still overcome without Kevin Ware? And how do you think about Wichita State's chances? I mean, they haven't been playing like a Cinderella. They've been knocking out some pretty good teams. But what do you think they have in store whenever they place this Louisville team?
I tell you what, his Wichita State team's got a lot of heart. They're going to be very competitive. And, you know, the great thing about some of these schools and these mid-major conferences, they're able to develop these guys for 3-4 years and stick together for a long time. And they're really able to build a lot of camaraderie on their teams. And that's what's really hurting some of the major schools right now. They're getting one-and-done players where they come in for 1 year and then they're off to the pros. They're not really able to build consistent teams. And you're still going to have some pretty good teams out of the, you know, major conferences too. But every year now you're getting a mid-major that's getting either to the Final Four or they're just missing it. I mean, you had Butler making it 2 years in a row a couple of years ago. Last year was the first time in a while we did not have a mid-major in the Final Four, and where we had all majors in the Final Four last year. But this year we got a mid-major that's returning, Wichita State. And every year there's going to be at least one of these teams knocking on the door, or they're either going to make it, just because they're able to keep their players 4 years, develop them, coach them up, and they're able to build a team concept. And that's the thing you see from this Wichita State team. They play well together, and they're well coached, but I still think in the end, in this game, they're going to be a little short against Louisville.
Gotcha. Very interesting. Keep it going. For those who want to call into the show, the number to call is 424-243-9519. You can follow us on Twitter, hit us on Facebook. We're going to keep it going, Rob, on the special Wednesday night edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. There's been a lot of coaching movement, too. I don't know if you want to highlight anything, Rob. Obviously, Florida Gulf International, they play well. Dunk City is now moving the coach. He is officially going on to USC, the University of Southern California. So that's pretty. They hired their coach, Andy Enfield. So I guess it's a good move. Florida Gulf Coast may be a little upset about that, but you know, obviously bigger and better things. I don't know if you want to comment on that. If this is a good move, or they're just picking the next hottest thing. If you're USC,
well, you know, that's typically the case. So you got a good young coach. Everybody wants Brad Stevens. And everybody wants Shaka Smart right now. But those two guys, got to give them credit. They've been sticking to the universities. UCLA came calling for Brad Stevens. He says, hey, I'm happy here at Butler. I'm going to stay. You know, university's going up to Shaka Smart. And he says, hey, I'm happy here at VCU. You know, I'm going to stay. And those two guys have had success now for about 4 or 5 years running. And they've definitely been proven. And I think they definitely will be great coaches, you know, going up to a major level. So, you know, those two guys don't want to move, so you go to the next, you know, hot young prospects, and you look at what this kid did, this coach did here with Florida Gulf Coast, did a tremendous job. So I think USC is showing a lot of guts, you know, going out, giving him a chance to coach in the Pac-12, and he's probably going to do a good job. And Steve Alford of UCLA, I'm not sure if that's quite a good fit. But, you know, you're still going to be able to get good players at UCLA. There's no doubt about it. And I think New Mexico was a team that was a very good team that just got upset here in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So he can coach up guys that were not 4- and 5-star recruits and get them to that kind of record. Just imagine what he might be able to do. But I just still don't know if he's the perfect fit. You know, UCLA, Hollywood. I just think Steve Alford as a Midwesterner, you know, that kind of should be in one of those kind of schools. Not sure if he's a Hollywood type, but we shall see. And, you know, see if he can get UCLA back to the mountaintop.
It's kind of messed up, man. He signed that 10-year deal, and you're like, this is where I want to be, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, until UCLA calls. I mean, I'm sure, you know, as mentioned, he's going to get a different style recruit. So hopefully, we'll see if that's a good mix. Like you said, I'm kind of, like you, I'm a little on the fence. I don't think it's a perfect fit. You know, heck, I could even see Andy Enfield going and doing something, but I don't think, you know, because he's just got that more, seems like he's got that more excitable type of basketball. But we'll see. Maybe it's time for them to have something a little more solid there. One more thing, Rob, before we talk about fantasy shout-outs, what do you think about Minnesota hiring Richard Pitino, the son of obviously Rick Pitino? He used to coach Florida International. What do you think about that move? He's going to be the next Gophers head coach. What do you think of this? This is a good move.
Well, before I even get to that, I think Minnesota, and I'm going to flat out say this, I think they were flat out stupid for firing Tubby Smith. I mean, Minnesota has three of the top 35 high school basketball seniors in the country, and they wanted to go with somebody who can be a little bit younger and hopefully try to convince all three of those guys to stay at home and go to college in Minnesota. But they didn't give Tubby the opportunity to close out those deals. Now you're bringing somebody completely new. They're going to have to resell the program to these three guys. And I tell you what, I just think that was unfair what they did to Tubby Smith. Obviously, Tubby's landed on his feet at Texas Tech, which might be a better job anyway. But I just think they were stupid for firing Tubby Smith and not giving him an opportunity to close the deal with these three hot young recruits that's right there in their backyard in the state of Minnesota and could have really had an opportunity to even take that program to an even greater level, in my opinion, if they have stuck with Tubby. So I guess in a nutshell, I don't like the hiring of Rick Pitino's son, Richard Pitino. I think they should have just stuck with Tubby Smith.
Tubby Smith always seems to be getting the short end of a lot of sticks, man. I don't know. You know, Kentucky, he gets them going, gets them a national championship. They're not happy with that. Goes to Minnesota, he starts winning. I don't know. He's starting to feel for the guy. But, you know, he's going to keep plugging along, keep making his money. And I guess that's he'll get the last laugh at the end of the day, Rob, is what it seems like. Wow.
Well, I would. The one knock on Tubby Smith has been this. There's no question about his coaching ability. There's no doubt about his X's and O's. He knows the game. He coaches players up. And the one thing that started hurting him as a Kentucky, he stopped getting the five-star recruits. He started getting guys that were three, maybe a few four-star recruits, and coaching them up and keeping them for 3 or 4 years. And they just wasn't getting the Anthony Davises, the Michael Gilchrist, the John Calipari is getting now. And,
not everyone gets those players, though, Rob. Not everyone gets those players, though.
Yeah, but that was the one knock on him at Kentucky. But, you know, at Minnesota, you're not going to get top-notch recruits. So that's why I thought Tubby Smith was a perfect fit for Minnesota. You know, even though Minnesota this year has three of the top 35 high school basketball seniors in the country, they don't have that every year. So he's going to have to win with mid-level recruits, and he's a perfect coach for that.
Very interesting, like you said. You know, it's kind of like one of the situations where you're kind of in the rock and a hard place, Rob, because, you know, somebody didn't get the 3 or 4 star recruits, but then you're getting all these number one recruits that are one and done. You know, so I guess, you know, pick your poison, Rob. That's what it seems like. You got John Calipari. You know, we know how we feel about him. I don't think he's the most honest cat, but you know, I guess this.
You
I
said that, John.
We know it's the truth, man. So I guess, you know, I guess if you're a Kentucky fan, you know, I guess be happy with what you got. But we'll see. I digress. We got about 7 minutes left in the show, Rob. Let's do some fantasy shout-outs before we talk about a lot of moves going on in the NFL, especially on the quarterback side.
Real quick, we're winding down our NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge. The bracket doctor, the self-proclaimed bracket doctor, Chris Johnson, Dallas, Texas, is leading our bracket challenge right now, and also our fantasy basketball league. Of course, Anthony Davis, the new number 23, Ronald from the New Orleans area, is leading the first place, and looks like he's running away with the league when they have about a week or two left in the season. So shout out to them for leading both of those challenges. Stay tuned for future fantasy challenges that we have coming up, of course, with fantasy football and survival football here coming up here in the near future in the fall.
Good deal, good deal. Keep it going. And let's talk about some NFL news here, Rob. And once again, and there's some situations whenever you're wondering if certain quarterbacks are officially backups or they're starters. Because right now, the moves that have been going on, man, obviously Raiders trade Carson Palmer to the Cardinals. If you're John Skelton, you're probably thinking, man, I thought I had this job locked up. But once again, you realize in the press conference that Carson Palmer is, in fact, the number one quarterback. And then you find out that Seattle trades Matt Flynn to the Raiders, completing the cycle, if you will. What do you think about these moves? And number one, I'm going to say first and foremost about the Raiders move, I don't think they're ever going to get it right, man. It seems like I think Matt Flynn's more of a backup guy. He caught lightning in a bottle last year. Not last year, the year before when he played with Green Bay. I'm not saying he's the worst quarterback, but I don't know if he's the answer per se. And then with Arizona, man, Carson Palmer just keeps living the dream, man. And I don't think he's fully healed. We keep talking about that. But to his credit, I don't think the Raiders had any really big weapons, so that was kind of a no-win situation too. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts about both these situations.
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think I like both situations for both of these quarterbacks. I'm going to disagree a little bit with you with Matt Flynn here. I actually think the kid can be a starter in the NFL.
LSU bias.
It might be the case, but, you know, I've seen enough of the kid. You know, he reads defenses. He gets rid of the ball quickly. He's fairly mobile. I mean, he's not RG3, Cam Newton, you know, Russell Wilson, not that mobile, but he can move. He can run for 10, 15 yards here and there. He's got good feet. Doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's accurate. And I think he was well coached by Mike McCarthy in Green Bay. And I think he can definitely be the guy that could lead the Raiders. And I think he's more of a West Coast style of quarterback, so I think he's going to have to be in that kind of a system. And I think Carson Palmer going to Arizona to play with Bruce Arians, I think, is the perfect quarterback for even his offense. Bruce Arians is a long ball thrower. Carson is not a West Coast quarterback. I think that's a perfect fit to go to Bruce Arians and play with Larry Fitzgerald as well. And so I actually like both moves, believe it or not. And I think both organizations, I think, got a little bit better. I don't know how much better, but I think they both got a little bit better with those moves.
What about Jamarcus Russell? And also I'm throwing Vince Young. You got him. Is he primed for a comeback? What do you think about Jamarcus and his opportunities as well as Vince Young? Wow.
Well, I mean, Jamarcus Russell, I mean, when this guy came out of LSU, I mean, even Mike Mayock, yeah, I heard him say the other day, he said the quarterback who had the most impressive pro day in all of his years of scouting was Jamarcus Russell. And he said to this day he's not seen a quarterback have a better pro day. And so the physical tools are there. I think the problem with Jamarcus Russell when he was in the league, he got lackadaisical, he got a big contract. He didn't develop his craft, and he just was not very coachable. Got out of shape. Gained a lot of weight, is the word I'm looking for here. But and I think right now he seems to be getting that drive and motivation. I think I don't know if it's going to be this year, but I think if he keep in the direction that he's going, he may get another opportunity to be a backup or either work his way back up to being a starter. There's no doubt he has the physical tools. And I'm actually rooting for the kid. I mean, I hope that he turns it around, and hopefully he get another opportunity to kind of live up to his potential. Somebody, I believe, will give him a chance in the next year or two. He's lost about 25 pounds so far. He probably still needs to lose some more, too.
Gotcha. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left, Rob. I'm going to go ahead and get this started as we get ready to set up for the OT portion. I still want to talk about Jamarcus. I have something to say because – it's kind of saying right there that pro days absolutely mean nothing because you can have an outstanding pro day and still you may not be the quarterback because, you know, you look at certain quarterbacks that have physical skills, you know, like Ryan Leaf was extremely physical, you know, and, you know, something was desiring, there was something to be desired upstairs. So, you know, sometimes I don't think that matters. And we'll talk about that as well as a scouting report about Geno Smith that was very scathing and all that jazz. But go ahead, let's set up the OT portion next week. We've got about 90 seconds left in the show, Rob.
Yeah, once again, we want to thank you all for tuning into the show. We do a 15-minute OT portion right after the show that you can't listen to live, but you can listen to it tomorrow when you're on your break at work or something like that. Click on the same link. We got some more NFL we're going to get into. Anybody want to talk, tune in to get some NFL draft coverage, we're going to be talking about that. You can tune in and listen to that on tomorrow as well. Once again, next week we're going to be back on Tuesday night. We're back on Tuesday night. So make sure you mark your calendars. For those of you on the East Coast, that's 11 p.m. Central Time Zone, 10 p.m. Pacific Coast, 8 p.m. And for our good friends in Germany, that will be Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. Don't want to miss next week's show. We're going to recap the championship game and NCAA tournament and also NFL, and we're winding down and getting ready for the NBA playoffs. You don't want to miss next week's show, people. Good night, people.
Got a lot of fun things to talk about. For those who are staying up for the OT portion, we're going to focus on some mock draft coverage. We're going to finish up this thought process and also about Mr. Geno Smith, some comments that were made. Carmelo, some Lakers mistakes, and who's going to win the 2013 World Series. My little inside the Braves all the way. Go ATL. Got that in there. Anyway, Rob, get ready. You and the Yankees, you guys are going anywhere. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, guys, for listening. We are now officially in the OC portion of Talking Sports with the 12th man. I got so excited, Rob. I didn't get a chance to pull up those numbers the last couple minutes there, so I apologize. But, we'll keep it going. Jamarcus, as mentioned, sometimes that just means that pro day doesn't mean anything. And I'm not, like you said, I'm always rooting for guys for second chances and stuff like that. You really do hope that a team will give him another shot because they're figuring if he wasn't motivated by money, what's going to motivate him this time? So, I agree with you. He's got all the physical tools out, which is out of this world. But sometimes it's that thing with, it's on top of your shoulders that everyone has to look at and see if he's a leader and can he lead a team and can he be a franchise guy.
Well, yeah. Obviously, I think what it is sometimes, different personalities. And I think what basically Jamarcus is probably realizing now is that he doesn't want to be considered the rest of his life as a bust. And I think this probably starting to sit home with him. And I think, he's probably having a wake-up call and want to at least, give it another go. And basically, you're right. The pro day doesn't mean – a great pro day does not mean you're going to be a great QB, or a bad pro day doesn't mean that you're going to be a bad quarterback in the NFL.
Blaine Gabbert.
I think what it does show scouts that the potential is there. They work at the craft. And I think that's the thing you look at with Jamarcus Russell pro day. It was so unbelievable. The talent is there if he can just find a way to really work at it and develop it and things of that nature. It kind of goes back to Michael Vick, the guy with so much potential, but he didn't stay in the film room. He had some really good seasons, don't get me wrong, but he could have been even better than what he actually was if the drive and the studying habits were better. And that's basically, getting back to Jamarcus, he didn't quite live up to his potential, and I think it's trying to hit home, and he's trying to give it another go. And hopefully, like I said, he gets another shot, because you look at some of these backup quarterbacks in the league right now, you look at my New Orleans Saints, we just signed Luke McCown to be the backup to Drew Brees.
Yep.
Come on. If Jamarcus is in shape and if he's in shape and really studying and developing his craft, you can't tell me Luke McCown is better than him. I'm just saying.
you can always
nothing
have,
against Luke
you
McCown.
Know, you always have a John Skelton, man. He's out there, man. I'm just messing with you. Kevin Cobb got a deal. Man, you're looking at some quarterbacks that are it is shocking to me. But
and nothing against these guys. These guys are working
absolutely
hard. They're staying in shape, and that's what Jamarcus didn't do. So as of right now, these guys are more deserving than Jamarcus. But I just think if Jamarcus would develop his craft and stay in shape, there's no doubt he can be better than those guys.
Before we talk about some mock draft coverage, I'm going to say take a little turn here. And it's kind of interesting because there's been a pro weekly draft analyst, Nolan Naraki. You heard him. We talked about Geno Smith, kind of gave him a scathing review or assessment, basically calling him that he's not a student of the game, but he does not command respect from his teammates and cannot inspire or not committed or whatever, handling hard coaching. He pretty much called him a cross between Kelly Smith and Aaron Brooks, which is kind of a messed up part to Aaron Brooks, too. Called him gimmicky, overhyped product of the system, and I guess he didn't have any work habits or vice versa. So I'm not going to go into all this, but seems like Naraki is kind of like taking things personal about Geno Smith because I don't think he had a pretty good comment about Cam Newton either. So I don't know. I don't know if you want to say anything about this because obviously it's been refuted by Geno Smith's ex-coach, but just kind of one of the situations, and I know we think this is personal because, I'm always rooting for Geno Smith and for, our quarterbacks, but I don't know what the cat was thinking, man. Very, very upsetting.
Well, I think he went overboard. There was no doubt about it. I will agree with that, and I think he did not have to make these comments. Well, obviously he's a the draft, you know, expert and things of that nature. So I guess
that's not a draft expert. That's not a draft expert.
And,
you mean,
well, I'll give you a little bit of history about Pro Football Weekly. And Pro Football Weekly was founded by a guy by the name of Joe Buschbaum, I think back in the 60s or 70s. So this is Pro Football Weekly has been around a long time. And so this is not a fly-by-night organization. And Bill Walsh said this back in the 70s or the early 80s. He says, when it comes, the only draft publication that he admires and these people know what they're talking about, he said, was Pro Football Weekly. He said these are the only people that he even reads when it comes to draft analysts. He didn't listen to the Mel Kuypers. He didn't listen to anyone else. He said Joe Buschbaum and Pro Football Weekly were the only ones that he listened to and thought these people really know what they were talking about. Joe Buschbaum has now passed away. And,
Hold on, Rob. Let me ask you this. So I'm curious because I know you're going with this, but I'm going to ask you, was Nolan around back then too? But I'll let you finish your thoughts. That's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Well, Joe Buschbaum, you know, obviously Nolan the Rocky was the guy that that was right underneath Joe Buschbaum, and that's who he turned over the organization to. Nolan Araki. But also, I'm going to give you a little bit of history about Nolan Araki, too. And I know there are a lot of us in the black community that are upset about with Nolan Araki's comments about Cam Newton and Geno Smith and things of that nature. But if you go back and look at Araki's notes on other quarterbacks, he's just not making these comments about black quarterbacks. He said the same thing about Carson Palmer. He said the same thing about Matt Leinart. And there's a few other people coming out of college that Nolan Araki made these comments about. And if you really go back and look at Nolan Araki's draft coverage, if you really go back and read at his what he said about a lot of players, he's often, I have to give him his credit to be honest with you, he's often right. You know, he said Matt Leinart was too Hollywood. He wouldn't do it in the NFL. He turned out to be right. He said Carson Palmer lacked leadership skills. The guy's not a leader. He won't lead teams. He has the physical tools, but he won't lead teams to the promised land. He said these things about Carson Palmer, too, and he turned out to be right. He said Cam Newton was nonchalant. Cam Newton is nonchalant. So, I mean, he said things that turned out to be true. I mean, I think he still went overboard on Geno Smith. I will admit that. Yeah. But I think the guy overall has been a very good draft evaluator, and I think, you know, some people are not giving him his due.
Interesting. Thank you for taking me down the path, Rob. I'm not going to ask you how you know that, but other than that, without being friends with Nolan, but we'll leave that be. Let's talk about some mock draft coverage, sir, as we get ready to wrap up the show here. We got about 8 minutes or so left. Tell us about some mock draft coverage and anything you wanted to kind of sit on as we get ready, man. We're not that far away from the draft, and anything you wanted to highlight as we get ready to buckle down and start making these moves in free agency and all that fun stuff.
Well, I haven't made any changes to my most recent mock drafts or everything right now. I still have the same. I'm still kind of evaluating some of these pro days. And definitely should be having an update to his mock draft here coming up in the next week or two. And it, and then probably one last one right before the draft, like a day or so before the draft, to kind of preview it right before it as well. So, but that being said about Geno Smith, I know Nolan Araki has made these comments. He's still the number one QB on my board. I still have him going number 8 to Buffalo. And but, you know, don't be surprised if there's not a quarterback taken in the top 10. I think Buffalo might be the only team that will consider it, taking a quarterback in the top 10. And Buffalo could very well be waiting to the second round to take Ryan Nissip at 41, a guy Doug Marrone had in college. He's still very high on him. And if Buffalo, in my opinion, you heard it here first, they are the only quarterback that will consider – they're the only team that will consider drafting a quarterback in this top 10. We could very well, for the first time in a long time, not have a QB that go in the top 10 in this draft.
It's interesting because whenever you look at all these quarterbacks that are scattered across the league and you see some stuff, and you think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to draft another quarterback, Andy Reid, and kind of fleece some teams like he's done in the past. He's fleeced a lot of teams with a lot of his picks, man, from the Kevin Cobbs to the, you know, it seems like he's always doing that, huh?
Well, he could draft the quarterback in this draft. There's no doubt about it, but I don't think it'll be before the fourth round. You know, it'll be in a later round this year. Yeah, he doesn't have a second-round pick, and his first-round pick would not be a QB. And I don't see him taking one in the third round either. I'm thinking fourth, fifth round at the earliest, somewhere between the fourth and the seventh, he may consider drafting a quarterback. Now, Andy Reid, you know, he's from that old Mike Holmgren background where they value QBs. They believe in drafting them and developing them, and if they don't stick on their roster, we can trade them later to get more picks. Mm-hmm. They come from that background with quarterbacks, so I can very easily see them taking one. But you got to keep in mind, they've drafted quarterbacks late in development. They drafted Mark Brunell in Green Bay in the sixth round, developed him, and eventually traded him to Jacksonville, where he turned out to be a starter, and led Jacksonville to a couple of AFC championship games. And so they will draft quarterbacks late and still do developmental work with those guys. They have an eye for those quarterbacks, and they know how to coach them up. And so I think they're going to go into the season with Alex Smith and Chase Daniels, 1 and 2. But don't be surprised if they draft a guy late, somebody else that they can develop for future purposes.
Very interesting. Yeah, like I said, there's been a lot of moves. And this draft is changing. So now it looks like whenever the Raiders have solidified Matt Flynn, that definitely changes their stock or their draft. You know, I don't think they're going to reach for Geno Smith right now. What do you think the Raiders are going to do at that number 3 pick? Are they going to get some more weapons for Matt Flynn? What do you think happens?
Well, I think they definitely need some weapons for Flynn, but I think at the number 3 spot, they're going to go Sharif Floyd, defensive tackle from Florida. I think he's a guy that's really shot up draft boards in the last couple of months, and he's almost a can't-miss prospect. And I think Oakland is going to look to solidify their defensive line. You already let Richard Seymour go and things of that nature, so you got to look to solidify that line. And I think they're going to go with Floyd. He's the best player available at that spot. And definitely not the quarterback now that they have Flynn. And there's probably not a receiver worth taking that high at number 3. So you got to go with the best player available.
For Jacksonville, is Blaine Gabbert the answer?
Well, I think if you're Jacksonville, you don't want to give up on him just yet. And you want to give this new regime an opportunity to see what they can do in developing them. Jacksonville definitely will not take a quarterback at number 2. Will they take a quarterback in this draft? Absolutely. And right now I have them taking Matt Barkley in the second round. And so I can definitely see that. And don't be surprised if Matt Barkley is the first quarterback taken in this draft. And right now I still have Geno Smith 1 and Barkley 2. But that could flip-flop based on, you know, how teams are evaluating these guys and what kind of systems they run. I think Barkley might be better suited for West Coast. And I think Geno Smith probably be more better suited for a team that, you know, likes to air it out long ball style. So we'll just have to see where the fit comes in. But Jacksonville won't take a QB at number 2. I think Gus Bradley is going to look for, you know, a speedy edge rusher kind of at that number 2 spot. And right now I like Deion Jordan to be that guy.
I think that Barkley is should be crossing light too, but you know I'm not going to say anything about that. Oh man, we got about 2 minutes, Rob. Two quick things I want to talk about. Carmelo scores 40 as the Knicks win their 10th straight against my Hawks. Messed up, and the Lakers made a mistake on Shaq's retired jersey. You want to talk about that? And also, who you think is going to win the 2013 World Series? As we get ready to wrap up, with 2 minutes left for the show.
Yeah, real quick, Carmelo Anthony scored 50 against the Heat last night, 40 tonight against the Hawks. He's averaging 45 points a game in 2 games there. Congrats to the Knicks on winning the 10th straight. Shaquille O'Neal's jersey, they put his name on the front of the jersey instead of the back when they hung it up in the rafters. So quite a mistake there by the Lakers. But it was I'm not a Lakers fan, but I thought it was a great ceremony honoring Shaquille O'Neal. I give them credit to that. Great career. And real quick, who I think is going to win the World Series, I'm going to go with the Giants versus the Rangers with the Giants winning it.
Gotcha. So next week, we appreciate you guys listening to the show. As always, tell your friends, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Facebook page is facebook.com/12thmansports. We are on Twitter at the number 12, THMANsports.com. Anything you want to say, Rob, as we get ready to wrap up?
Join us next Tuesday night. Don't forget, we're back on Tuesday next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 a.m. in Hawaii. I'm sorry, 5 a.m. in Germany. That would be 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thanks for listening to us, and we'll see you guys next week. Looking forward to the recap of the NCAA tournament and the end of a crazy, crazy March Madness. So, as always, tell your friends and family, we'll see you guys same time next week. Good night, people.
Good night.